8, 6, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Radio Art Hour, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wavefarm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Created specifically for terrestrial AM/FM broadcast. Whether it be by commercial, public, community, or independent transmission. Come on a journey with us as radio artists explore broadcast radio space through poetic resuscitations and playful celebrations, subversions of the complex relationship between senders and receivers in this hour of radio about radio. Go to wavefarm.org for more information about the Radio Art Hour and Wavefarm's Radio Art Archives.
99. I'm Tom Rowe at the Wave Farm in upstate New York, where we work with artists that work with the radio waves. And recently, two of the Wave Farm Radio Artist Fellows, Karen Werner and Jess Speer, have been collecting all sorts of radio artworks that we're gathering here in the Radio Art Hour to feature with other works and backed by the Conant Project's Number Station recordings, which you hear behind us now. Today's theme on the Radio Art Hour is scary stories. First, we will hear a classic radio theater work from the 1940s, and then a retelling of the tale from the point of view of a radio listener from the 1960s. Then we finish with what Orson Welles called, quote, the greatest single radio script ever written, unquote, on the Radio Art Hour today. First, we're tuning in a 1940s episode of the Lights Out radio show. This episode is Chicken Heart, and it comes from Ark Obler, took over Lights Out from Wallace Cooper, who started the program in the 1930s. Lights Out was known as the goriest of the early radio horror shows, toned down a bit when it moved to NBC in 1935. The Chicken Heart episode features a simple but effective thump-thump of an ever-growing chicken heart, which, thanks to a scientific experiment gone wrong, threatens to engulf the entire world. Obler's story was inspired by a Chicago Tribune article about scientists keeping a chicken heart alive for a considerable period of time after its having been removed from the chicken. The episode is probably so well known because of the second work featured today, Bill Cosby's Chicken Heart. Cosby is a convicted sexual predator who once released a comedy track called Spanish Fly about how funny it is to use a date rape drug on women before having sex with them. Here he recounts listening to this episode of Lights Out as a 7-year-old, so his story does not match the original script and focuses more on his reaction to the radio show and what his parents do when they walk in on his radio listening experience.
Do you remember some time ago in an Eastern scientific institution, they kept a piece of heart alive for weeks on end? Well, I got to thinking, what if that heart began to grow? And grow, and grow, and grow.
Hello? Hello, operator. Give me Mr. Regan, fast. Hello, Mr. Regan. This is Lewis. Listen, get me a rewrite, man. The thing's still growing. No, Chief, I tell you the truth. The corridor's choked with living, crawling flesh. No, I'm not drunk. I'm telling you the truth. That little piece of flesh has grown until now. It's jamming that building. All inside the space of an hour. You've got to believe me. It's the greatest news story of the generation, and here you argue with me. I tell you it's the truth. You've got to believe
me. You must believe me. I tell you the only hope is to burn the building to the ground at once.
Now, wait a minute, Doc. Wait a minute. Take it easy.
I tell you, burn it to the ground. Burn.
And I tell you, take it easy. I sent in a call.
Oh, don't you understand? For some reason, I cannot even imagine. This tissue is doubling in size every hour. Do you know what that means? In another hour, it will be twice the size it is now. And long before that, it will break open the building with the force of its pressure. And then it will be free in the street. Do you hear me? Free in the street. And then those tentacles of protoplasm stretching out to feed on anything they can reach.
What's happening?
Forget it. See the walls. Cracking. Why won't you? Why won't you?
To warn them. But now it is too late. The heart is free.
Gentlemen, come to order, please. Gentlemen, please, quiet, please now. As mayor, no one realizes more than I do the necessity of immediate action in curbing this unspeakable, unbelievable emergency. And I assure you that
I'll cut the speeches, Mac. That blasted thing is spreading like a forest fire. Call the governor. Get the National Guard out.
Wait. Here is Dr. Alberts of the Research Institute. Let him speak. Step up here, doctor.
Do something.
Let's see what he suggests.
Gentlemen, it was in my institute this horror began. And if you give me a chance, perhaps I can stop it.
What is it, Doctor? Tell us first what that monster really is.
Yes. Yes, I will tell you. That great, ever-growing mass of flesh, it is, or it was, a chicken heart.
Chicken heart? Are you crazy, man?
Yes, chicken heart, I tell you. Chicken heart. Listen to me, you fools. This man.
Everybody up there knows what he's talking about.
I tell you that mass of flesh was a chicken heart, the tissue of which, for some reason, is undergoing constant, rapid, accelerating growth. With every passing hour, its growth is doubling. Do you know what that means? If it is now one block in size, within 30 hours, that cannibal flesh will have increased in size to one square block to the 30th power. In 30 hours, every inch of this whole city will be crushed under that moving flesh. Within 60 hours, it will have covered the entire state. Within 2 weeks, the entire United States. You ask for the National Guard. I say, call out the entire army. Blast this thing off the earth.
Ready, Chief? Covers are ready. All hoses coupled up. We'll flood that thing with water from all angles.
All right, here's the signal.
Open them up! Full blast!
Chief! Look out! That flesh is reaching out!
Get back, everybody! Everybody, get!
The fools, what good is water? I told them. The only hope is artillery. Bombs.
All National Guardsmen, report to your armories. All National Guardsmen, report to your armories. General mobilization order.
Battery in position, sir.
Commence firing on the hour.
Yes, sir.
10, 5, 0.
Commence firing! Fire!
Useless. Grown too large, and it grows too quickly. The flesh is already engulfing the guns. They came too late.
You all right now, Dr. Alberts?
Yes. Yes, I'm all right, Mr. Lynch. I'm all right.
Well, I sure am glad I located you. I stalled as long as I could, another 10 minutes, and we couldn't have taken off. That blasted protoplasm, or whatever it is, was sucking at the wheels by the time we left the ground.
Yes, as I saw.
5,000 feet.
Well, we'll cruise around up here for a few minutes and then head west.
It will do no good.
You can't mean it. It must stop growing sometime. It must.
Look at it down there. The gray blankets of evil covering everything. See how the roads are black with men and women and their children running for their lives. See how the protoplasmic gray reaches out and engulfs them. See.
Stop it! Stop talking like that. We'll get away. The government, they'll send bombing planes, poison gas.
No hope. Listen to me, Lewis. You remember only a handful of days ago you asked me my prophecy of the end of the earth? You remember my answer? Oh, such a scholarly prophecy. Cessation of earth rotation. Mighty sounding astronomical theories. But now this is reality, Lewis. The end has come for humanity. Not in the red of atomic fusion. Not in the glory of interstellar combustion. Not in the peace of white, cold silence. But with that creeping, grasping flesh below us. It is a joke, hey, Lewis. A great joke. The joke of the cosmos. The end of mankind.
Why?
Because of a chicken's heart.
No! No, we won't die. I can't die. I'll find a safe landing somewhere. I'll find a place. The motor, it's cut out. We're in a spin. I can't get out of it.
I told you. Doomed.
No. No.
All mankind. Doomed.
No. We're falling right into it. Into the heart.
I'm 7 years old, standing up in my crib. I kept falling out of the crib. I really, you know, I mean, they gave me a bed, but I kept falling out of it. And I'm standing up there. My parents are going out, see, and they're just walking back and forth. We live in an apartment building. There's only one bathroom, and there's my bedroom. Then my parents' bedroom, and they have to pass by my bedroom in order to get to the bathroom. And if the door's open, I can see them. And I know they're going out because they keep bumping into each other, you know. Boom, dang, boom, get out of the way. Boom, where's my sock? I don't wear them, you know. So, this is before babysitters, when parents did not believe in babysitters at all. You know, the philosophy was, what? Let some stranger look after my kid, I'd just as soon leave him home by himself. So, I'm standing up here, I got my sleepers on. I wore sleepers till I was 12. I love sleepers because I used to put mashed potatoes in the bottom of my sleepers and make my mother feel them. Mom, Phil's a dead rat, she'd faint. My mom would faint for anything, man. I used to get hit in the head with a rock and cover up the blood. She couldn't stand blood for nothing, man. I'd go home, stand right behind her. She's cooking. Mom, look, blood. She'd faint. So I'm standing up in the crib and they both come up, you know. And now the whole thing to them is that they have to scare me to make me stay in the bed, see. They tell you some kind of a lie. That's what the parents used to do. There's a green monster out the door. If you get out of that bed, he'll eat you right up, you know. So, I'm a con man. I really am. I'm a good con man. Boy, I never went to school if I didn't want to. My whole thing was so beautiful. My mother used to come in, boom, open the door, and I'd be in the bed, you know. And she'd say, aren't you going to school? And I'd say, Mother, is that you? Just bring your face here so I can touch it before I leave. You know, never went to school one day. And always got out at 3:30 to play. Used to go up to her, 3:30. A miracle happened! I'm well! You're not well, get back into bed. Honest to goodness, Mom! A little angel came right up on my bed, hit me with a wand, twang, said, go out and play. And she had to believe the angel. I knew that. So anyway, I'm standing in my crib. And I said, now, don't get out of the crib, please. See, my father, I love my father's approach. It was basic. Stay in the bed. That's all, you know. Stay in the bed, see? I knew how to answer him. I will. And that was it. You know, he'd go, and then I'd jump out of the crib, you know. Papa's beautiful, but mothers, they give you a half out. Stay in the crib because your life is important to this and that. Oh, yes, I've heard it before. But my old man would just come up, stay in the bed. Right, Dad. And he'd leave. He said his piece, you know. So now my mother comes in. I don't get out of the crib. Yes, Mother, I'm tired anyway. I'm going to sleep. The Sandman's beating me to death. And I'm so tired. Pardon me for not seeing you to the door, but I'm just tired. I'm telling you right now, don't get out of that crib. Now, the last time you got out of the crib, you went in and listened to that radio and heard that awful Lights Out program, and it scared you so bad that you smeared Jell-O all over the kitchen floor to make the monster slip if he came at you. And your father went into the kitchen to get a drink of water, slipped and hurt himself. Now, to make sure that you don't get out of this crib, we've placed over 100 black poisonous snakes around your crib. And if you so much as put a toe out there, they're going to bite you, you're going to swell up and be dead until morning. I don't see no snakes. They're invisible. And she left. Boom. Boy, I'm telling you right now, I'm so sick of this place, I'm going to run away from home. They're always putting black snakes. Snakes! You get out of here! This is not your room, this is my room, and you just get out of here! I don't care who sent you in here, this is my room. I didn't ask you to come in here, nasty snakes! Snakes, do you hear me talking to you? Huh? Snakes, I gotta go to the bathroom. Come on, have a heart on a guy, will you? Are you out there? Listen, snakes, now don't you bite. Don't you bite me. I'm gonna put my toe out there. Don't bite it. Just give it a little snaky lick. Come on. Okay, listen. You could bite it just a little bit. But don't put none of your juice in it. Nothing. Well, go ahead. I bet you're not even out there. Go and bite it, suckers. Yeah, I know you wasn't out there. Lie to me, boy. I'm going to listen to the radio. We had a Philco radio. It was about 6 feet tall. Had 287 knobs on it, of which only two worked, off on volume and the station selector. The extra knobs were if you'd lose one, you could replace them right away. You don't have to go to the store. And I love to get scared to death. Anything that would scare me to death, I loved it. I loved Frankenstein, a Wolfman, and a Mummy so much. I used to sit right up front. And then they would come at me, and I would squish myself into the orchestra pit. I hid all over the place. I'm telling you, I had pictures of them all over my house, never looked at them, was scared of them. And there were three programs that were scary. One was suspense. That wasn't too scary, that was suspenseful. Then there was Inner Sanctum, where the guy played the organ. And then he would come in, good evening, and he was so happy to scare you to death. And he opened that door. And then he told you a weird story about his Uncle Harry who had lost his hip bone or something like that. Oh, man. But what really scared me was when he closed the door. At the end, I knew somebody was in the house then. And I started smearing that Jell-O. No monster gonna get near me with that Jell-O on the floor. I've tripped up many a monster with that Jell-O on the floor. Yes, sirree, Bob. And now, I got my radio, I turn it on. You gotta wait maybe 8 days. It'll heat up, you know, 8 days. Spidey, you got one. And then I'm just, oh, there's good news. Good evening. guy. Go ahead, scare me to death. I'm ready. I'm ready. Scare me, man. Come on now.
And welcome to Lights Out.
Yeah. Go ahead, scare me. I was dumb enough to do whatever the guy said to do on the radio.
Turn your lights out.
Yeah, all right, yeah. They're out. Go on, scare me to death. I'm ready.
Tonight's episode is about a chicken heart. A chicken heart that ate up New York City.
Yeah, go chicken heart. Go get him. Eat him up, chicken heart. Scare me to death. I'm ready.
The chicken heart was kept alive in a laboratory in a vat. Special solution. Half blood, half sodium salicylate. One day, a careless janitor knocked the vat over. He went to get a rag to clean it up. The chicken heart grew. 6'5". And in search of human blood. The janitor came back, opened the door. The heart ate him up.
What?
Go get him, chicken heart. Go get him.
It moved out into the hallway. Rang for the elevator.
Fourth floor. Ah!
Go get him, chicken heart. Go get him. You will.
Moved out into the street. Ate up all the cabs.
Beep, beep.
The Empire State Building. Ate up the Jersey Turnpike. It's in your home state. It's outside of your door. And it's going to eat you up.
Oh, I got my Jell-O star smearing it all over the floor. Get out of here, chicken heart! I set the sofa on fire. You won't come near smoking fire and Jell-O. My father came in the house and what? What the hell's the sofa doing on fire? Come in the house, the chicken heart's gonna eat you up. Hurry up, okay. Zip. What chicken heart are you talking about? The one on the radio. Tell you the idiot, turn it off.
I hadn't thought of that. For 2 years, anybody that passed by our house, my father, whether he knew him or not, would call him in.
Hey, come here, I want to show you my dumb kid. Go on, tell him how you burned up a $100 sofa and broke your father's arm. Save us from that.
Those were two chicken hearts. The first, the 1930s episode of the Lights Out radio show, the episode called Chicken Heart from Arch Obler, and followed it by sort of reaction take on listening to the radio show, Bill Cosby's Lights Out. And of course, Bill Cosby is a convicted sexual predator. The final work we include today on the Radio Hour is the Sorry Wrong Number episode of the Suspense radio show from 1943. It is virtually a one-woman show with Agnes Moorehead as Mrs. Stevenson, an invalid who accidentally intercepts a phone call between two men plotting a murder. Moorehead's career ranged from playing the title character's mother in Citizen Kane to playing Endora on the TV show Bewitched. In 2015, the original May 25th, 1943 broadcast of Sorry Wrong Number was deemed, quote, culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant, unquote, by the Library of Congress and selected for inclusion in the National Recording Registry. Here is Sorry Wrong Number with Agnes Moorehead on the Radio Art Hour.
Suspense. Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations bring you radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Starring tonight, Miss Agnes Moorehead in Anton Lieder's production of Lucille Fletcher's famous suspense play, Sorry, Wrong Number. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Oh, dear.
Your call, please.
Operator, I've been dialing Murray Hill 40098 now for the last three quarters of an hour, and the line is always busy. I don't see how it could be busy that long. Will you try it for me, please?
I will be glad to try that number for you. One moment, please.
I don't see how it could be busy all this time. It's my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I'm here all alone in the house. My health is very poor, and I've been feeling so nervous all day.
Ringing Murray Hill 40098.
Hello?
Hello? Hello, is Mr. Stevenson there?
Hello, hello.
Hello?
Hello, George?
Yes, sir. This is George speaking.
Hello, who's this? What number am I calling, please?
I'm here with our client, George.
Oh, good. Is everything okay? Is the coast clear for tonight?
Yes, George. He says the coast is clear for tonight.
Okay. Okay.
Where are you now?
In a phone booth.
Don't worry.
Everything's okay.
Very well. You know the address.
I know. I know. At 11 o'clock, the private patrolman goes around to the bar on 2nd Avenue for a beer.
That's right, 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Now, be sure that all the lights downstairs are out. There should be only one light visible from the street.
Okay, okay.
Just a minute, George. Oh, our client tells me that at 11:15 a train crosses the bridge. It makes a noise in case her window's open and she should scream.
Oh, hello, what number is this, please?
Okay, I understand. That's 11:15, the train.
Yeah. You remember everything else, George?
Yes. I'll make it quick. As little blood as possible. Because our client does not wish to make her suffer long.
That's right. You'll use a knife?
Yes. The knife will be okay. Then afterwards, I remove the rings and bracelets and the jewelry in the bureau drawer because our client wishes it to look like simple robbery. Don't worry. Everything's okay. I never...
Oh! Oh, how awful! How unspeakably awful!
Your call, please.
Operator, I've just been cut off.
I'm sorry. What number were you calling?
Why, it was supposed to be Murray Hill 40098, but it wasn't. Some wires must have got crossed. I was cut into a wrong number, and I've just heard the most dreadful thing, something about a murder. And, operator, you simply got to retrace that call at once.
I beg your pardon. May I help you?
Oh, I know it was the wrong number, and I had no business listening, but these two men, they were cold-blooded fiends, and they were going to murder somebody, some poor innocent woman who was all alone in a house near a bridge. And we've got to stop them. We've just got to.
What number are you calling, please?
Well, that doesn't matter. This was a wrong number, and you dialed it for me, and we've got to find out who what was immediately.
What number did you call?
Oh, why are you so stupid? What time is it? Do you mean to tell me you can't find out what that number was just now?
I'll connect you with the chief operator.
Oh, I think it's perfectly shameful. Now, look, it was obviously a case of some little slip of the finger. I told you to try Murray Hill 40098 for me, and you dialed it, but your finger must have slipped, and I was connected with some other number. And I could hear them, but they couldn't hear me. Now, I simply fail to see why you couldn't make that same mistake again, on purpose. Why, you couldn't try to dial Murray Hill 40098 in the same sort of careless way.
Murray Hill 40098. I will try to get it for you.
Well, thank you.
I am sorry. Murray Hill 40098 is busy. I will call you in 20 minutes.
Operator! Operator!
Your call, please.
You didn't try to get that wrong number at all. I asked you explicitly, and all you did was dial correctly.
I am sorry. What number are you calling?
Well, can't you for once forget what number I'm calling and do something for me? Now, I want to trace that call. It's my civic duty, and it's your civic duty to trace that call and apprehend those dangerous killers. And if you don't...
I will connect you with the chief operator.
Well, please. This talk can't make anyone understand. This much time.
This is the chief operator.
Chief operator, I want you to trace a call, a telephone call, immediately. I don't know where it came from or who was making it, but it's absolutely necessary that it be tracked down because it was about a murder that someone's planning. A terrible, cold-blooded murder of a poor, innocent woman tonight at 11:15.
I see.
Well, can you trace it for me? Can you track down those men?
I am not certain. It depends.
Depends on what?
It depends on whether the call is still going on.
What?
If it's a live call, we can trace it on the equipment.
Well,
if it has been disconnected, we cannot.
Disconnected?
If the parties have stopped talking to each other.
Oh, but of course they must have stopped talking to each other by now. That was at least 5 minutes ago, and they didn't sound like the type who would make a long call.
Well, I can try tracing it. May I have your name, please?
Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Stevenson. But listen...
And your telephone number, please.
At Plaza 32099. But if you go on wasting all this time...
Why do you want this call traced, please?
Why? Well, no reason. I merely felt very strongly that something ought to be done about it. These men sounded like killers. They're dangerous. They're going to murder this woman at 11:15 tonight, and I thought the police ought to know.
Have you reported this to the police?
Well, no, not yet.
You want this call checked purely as a private individual?
Yes, but meanwhile...
I am sorry, Mrs. Stevenson, but I am afraid we couldn't make this check for you and trace the call just on your say-so as a private individual.
But
we will have to have something more official.
Oh, for heaven's sake, you mean to tell me I can't report that there's going to be a murder without getting tied up in all this red tape? Why, it's perfectly idiotic. Well, all right, I'll call the police.
Thank you. I am sure that would be the best way...
Oh, ridiculous. I never heard of such nonsense. Police department, I can't see why you have to go through all this business.
Your call, please.
The police department. Get me the police department, please.
Thank you. Ringing the police department.
Oh, dear, do you have to dial? Can't you ring them direct? All this time waste.
Police Department, Precinct 43. Sergeant Martin speaking.
Police Department, this is Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Smythe Stevenson of 53 North Sutton Place. I'm calling up to report a murder.
Huh?
I mean, the murder hasn't been committed yet, but I just overheard plans for it over the telephone. Over a wrong number that the operator gave me. I've been trying to trace down the call myself, but everybody is so stupid. And I guess in the end, you're the only people who could do anything.
Yes, ma'am.
It was a perfectly definite murder. I heard their plans distinctly. Two men were talking, and they were going to murder some woman at 11:15 tonight, and she lived in a house near a bridge. Are you listening to me?
Yes, ma'am.
And there was a private patrolman on the street. He was going to go around for a beer on 2nd Avenue, and there was some third man, a client, who was paying to have this poor woman murdered. They were going to take her rings and bracelets and use a knife.
Well, it's unnerved me dreadfully, and I'm not well.
Now, when was all this, ma'am?
About 8 minutes ago. Oh, then you can do something. You do understand.
What is your name, ma'am?
Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Stevenson.
And your address?
53 North Sutton Place. That's near a bridge. The Queensboro Bridge, you know. And we have a private patrol in our street. And Second Avenue is the next
what
street.
What was that number you were calling?
Murray Hill 40098. But that wasn't the number I overheard. I mean, Murray Hill 40098 is my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I was trying to reach him to ask him to come home. I'm an invalid, you know, and it's the maid's night off, and I hate to be alone, even though he says I'm perfectly safe as long as I have the telephone right beside my bed.
Well, we'll look into it, Mrs. Stevenson, and see if we can check it with the telephone company.
But the telephone company said they couldn't check the call if the parties had stopped talking. I've already taken care of that.
Oh, you have?
Yes, and personally, I feel you ought to do something far more immediate and drastic than just check the call.
Well, now,
what
good
does checking the call do if they stop talking? By the time you tracked it down, they've already committed the murder.
Well, we'll take care of it, don't you worry.
I'd say the whole thing calls for a search. A complete and thorough search of the whole city. Why, I'm very near the bridge, and I'm not far from Second Avenue, and I know I'd feel a whole lot better if you sent around a radio car to this neighborhood at once.
And what makes you think the murder's going to be committed in your neighborhood, ma'am?
Why, I don't know. Only the coincidence is so horrible. Second Avenue and the patrolman and the bridge.
Well, Second Avenue's a very long street, ma'am, and... Well, you know how many bridges there are in the city of New York alone,
well,
not to mention Brooklyn, Staten Island, Queens, and the Bronx. Now, how do you know there isn't some little house on Staten Island, on some little Second Avenue you've never heard about? Well, how do you know they were even talking about New York at all?
But I heard the call on the New York dialing system.
Well, maybe it was a long-distance call you overheard.
Oh, I...
Telephones are funny things now. Now, look, lady, why don't you look at it this way? Supposing you hadn't broken in on that telephone call. Supposing you'd got your husband the way you always do. You wouldn't be so upset, would you?
Well, I know. I suppose not. Only it sounded so inhuman, so cold-blooded.
A lot of murders are plotted in this city every day, ma'am. We managed to prevent almost all of them. The clue of this kind is so vague, it isn't much more use to us than no clue at all.
But surely you...
Unless, of course, you have some reason for thinking this call was phony or that someone may be planning to murder you.
Me? Oh, it... Well, no, I hardly think so. I mean, why should anybody? I'm alone all day and night. I see nobody except my maid Eloise, and she's a big girl. She weighs 200 pounds. She's too lazy to bring up my breakfast tray, and the only other person is my husband, Albert. He's crazy about me. He just adores me. He waits on me hand and foot. He has scarcely left my side since I took sick 12 years ago.
Well, then, there's nothing for you to worry about.
Well,
now, if you'll just leave the rest of this to us, we'll take care of it.
But what will you do? It's so late. It's nearly 11 now.
We'll take care of it, lady.
Well, will you broadcast? Cast it all over the city and send out squads and warn your radio cars to watch out, especially in suspicious neighborhoods like mine.
Lady, I said we'd take care of it. Just now, I've got a couple of other matters here on my desk that require immediate attention. Good night, ma'am, and thank you.
Oh, you idiot! Oh, no. Why did I hang up the phone like that? Now you'll think I am a fool. Oh, why doesn't Albert come home? Why doesn't he? I'm the operator again.
Your call, please.
Operator, for heaven's sake, will you ring that Murray Hill 40098 number again? I can't think what's keeping him so long.
I will try to get it for
you. Well, try. I don't see why he doesn't answer.
I am sorry, Murray Hill 40098 is busy. I will call you.
I can hear it. You don't have to tell me. I know it's busy.
Oh, if I could only get out of this bed for a little while. If I could get a breath of fresh air and just lean out of the window and see the street.
Hello, Albert. Hello. Hello? Hello? Oh, what's the matter with this phone? Hello? 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 Oh, for heaven's sake, who is it? Hello? 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 He's trying to call me one of the...
trying to do to me.
Your call, please.
Hello, operator. I don't know what's the matter with this phone tonight, but it's positively driving me crazy. I've never seen such inefficient, miserable service. Now, look, I'm an invalid. And I'm very nervous, and I'm not supposed to be annoyed. But if this keeps on much longer...
What seems to be the trouble?
Well, everything's wrong. I haven't had one bit of satisfaction out of one call I've made this evening. The whole world could be murdered for all you people care. And now my phone keeps ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing every 5 seconds, and when I pick it up, there's no one there.
I am sorry. If you will hang up, I will test it for you.
I don't want you to test it for me. I want you to put that call through, whatever it is, at once.
I'm afraid I cannot do that.
You cannot? Well, why? Why, may I ask?
The dial system is automatic.
Oh, I...
If someone is trying to dial your number, there is no way to check whether the call is coming through the system or not.
Oh,
unless the person is trying to reach you, complains to his particular operator.
Oh, of all the stupid... And meanwhile, I've got to sit here in my bed suffering every time that phone rings, imagining everything.
I will try to check the trouble
for
you.
Check it. That's all anybody can do. Oh, what's the use of talking to you? You're so stupid. Oh, I'll fix her. Of all the impudent... How dare she speak to me like that? How dare she speak to me?
Your call, please.
Young woman, I don't know your name, but there are ways of finding you out. And I'm going to report you to your superiors for the most unpardonable rudeness and insolence it has ever been my privilege. Give me the business office at once.
You may dial that number direct.
Dial it direct? I'll do no such thing. I don't even know the number.
The number is in the directory, or you may secure it by dialing information.
Listen here, you... Oh, what's the use? Oh, dear. Oh, for heaven's sake, I'm going out of my mind. I'm going out of my mind. Hello? Hello, stop ringing me. Do you hear? Answer me. Who is this? Do you realize you're driving me crazy? Who's calling me? What are you doing it for? Now, stop it. Stop it. Stop it, I say. Hello? If you don't stop ringing me, I'm going to call the police. Do you hear? The police.
Oh, Albert, would only come home.
Oh, let it ring. Let it go on ringing. It's a trick of some kind. I won't answer it. I won't even if it goes on ringing all night. Just ring all night. I don't... What's the matter? Why did they stop ringing all of a sudden? Oh, what time is it? Where's my clock? Where is it? Where did I put it? 5 to 11? Oh, they've decided something. They're sure I'm home. They heard my voice answer them just now. That's why they've been ringing me. Why, no one has answered me. Call the operator again. Oh, wait. Oh, where is she? Why doesn't she answer?
Your call, please.
Where were you just now? Why didn't you answer at once? Give me the police department.
I am sorry. The line is busy. I will call you.
Busy? But that's impossible. The police department can't be busy. There must be other lines available.
The line is busy. I will try to get them later.
No. I've got to speak to them now, or it may be too late. I've got to get to someone.
What number do you wish to speak to?
Well, I don't know, but there must be someone to protect people beside the police department. A detective agency.
You will find detective agencies listed in the classified directory.
But I don't have a classified. I mean, I'm too nervous to look it up, and I don't know how to use it.
I will connect you with information. Perhaps they will be able to help you.
Oh, no. Oh, you're being spiteful, aren't you? You don't care, do you, what happens to me? I could die and you wouldn't care. Oh, stop it! Stop it! I can't stand anymore! Hello, what do you want? Stop ringing, will you? Stop it!
Hello, is this Plaza 32099?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm sorry. This is Plaza 32099.
This is Western Union. I have a telegram here for, Mrs. Albert Stevenson. Is there anyone there to receive the message?
I am Mrs. Stevenson.
The telegram is as follows. Mrs. Albert Stevenson, 53 North Sutton Place, New York, New York. Darling, terribly sorry. Try to get you for last hour, but line busy. Leaving for Boston 11 p.m. tonight on urgent business.
Oh.
Back tomorrow afternoon. Keep happy. Love, signed Albert.
Oh, no.
You wish us to deliver a copy of the message?
No. No, thank you.
Thank you, madam. Good night.
Good night. No. Oh, I don't believe it. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it, not when he knows I'll be all alone in some trick, some fiendish trick. In some...
Your call, please.
Operator, try that Murray Hill 40098 number for me just once more, please.
You may dial that number direct.
Oh. M. U. Tonight, I just can't. If I'm alone one more second, I'll go mad. I don't care what he says or what the expense is. I'm a sick woman. I'm entitled to some consideration.
This is information. May I help you?
I want the telephone number of Henchley Hospital.
Henchley Hospital? Do you have the street address?
No, it's somewhere in the 70s. It's a very small, private, and exclusive hospital where I had my appendix out 2 years ago. Henchley, H-E-N-C-H.
One moment, please.
Please hurry. And please, what is the time?
You may find out the time by dialing Meridian 71212.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I've no time to be dialing.
The number of Henchley Hospital is Butterfield 89970.
You. 8 9 9 7 0.
Henchley Hospital, good evening.
Give me the nurse's registry.
Who was it you wished to speak to, please?
I want the nurse's registry at once. I want a trained nurse. I want to hire immediately for the night.
I see. And what is the nature of the case, madam?
Nerves. I'm very nervous. I need soothing and companionship. You see, my husband is away, and I'm all...
Have you been recommended to us by any doctor in particular, madam?
No, but I really don't see why all this catechizing is necessary. I want a trained nurse. I was a patient in your hospital 2 years ago, and after all, I do expect to pay this person for attending me.
We quite understand that, madam. But registered nurses are very scarce just now. Our superintendent has asked us to send people out only on cases where the physician in charge feels it is absolutely necessary.
Well, it is absolutely necessary. I'm a sick woman. I'm very upset. Very. I'm alone in this house, and I'm an invalid, and tonight I overheard a telephone conversation that upset me dreadfully. A woman's going to be killed when a train comes. In fact, if someone doesn't come at once, I'm afraid I'll go out of my mind.
I see. Well, I will speak to Miss Phillips as soon as she comes in. And what is your name, madam?
When do you expect her in?
I really couldn't say. She went out to supper at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock? Oh, but it's not 11 yet. Oh, my clock has stopped. I thought it was running down. What time is it?
Just 15 minutes past 11.
What was that?
What was what, madam?
That click just now in my own telephone, as though someone had lifted the receiver off the hook, off the extension telephone downstairs.
I didn't hear it, madam. Now about
the nurse. I did. There's someone in this house, someone downstairs in the kitchen, and they're listening to me now. This is... Oh, I won't pick it up again. I won't let them hear me. I'll be quiet, and then they'll... What if I don't call someone now while they're still down there? There'll be no time. I've got to get that operator.
Your call, please.
Operator, I'm in desperate trouble. I
am sorry, I cannot hear you. Please speak louder.
I don't dare. There's someone listening. Can you hear me now?
I am sorry.
Oh, but you've got to hear me. Oh, please, you've got to help me. There's someone in this house. Someone who's going to murder me. And you've got to get in touch with the police. Oh, there it is. Did you hear it? He's put it down. He's put down the extension phone. He's coming up the stairs. Oh, give me the police department. Give me the police department.
One moment, please. I will connect you.
Oh, hurry.
Oh, hurry, I can hear him. He's coming. He's coming here. Oh! Oh, no! Oh, what are you going to do to me? Oh, don't! Oh, don't come near me! I haven't done anything, please! I don't know anything! Don't!
Sergeant Martin speaking. Hello, Police Department, Precinct 43. Sergeant Martin speaking.
Police Department?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Must have got the wrong number. Don't worry. Everything's okay.
Thank you, Miss Agnes Moorhead, for another memorable performance. Miss Moorhead will return in just a moment.
Say, Harlow, you got so wound up on Autolite resistor spark plugs a while back, you never told me whether you saw the state football game last week.
You bet I saw it. And say, did you notice the big gaps that state knocked in that enemy line?
Yes.
Reminded me of that wide gap in Autolite resistor spark plugs.
Now, Harlow.
You know, when you replace your old narrow gap spark plugs with wide gap Autolite resistor spark plugs, by Cornelius, your engine idles smoother, you have better luck with lean gas mixtures, actually save gas.
Harlow, I'm talking about football. Oh, by the way, how'd you like the way State's line cut down enemy interference?
Great. Almost as good as the way Autolite resistor spark plugs cut down spark plug interference with radio and television reception.
What a team. What a team.
Yes, friends, when it comes to team play, you really get it with those sensational new Autolite resistor spark plugs. Another Autolite engineering first. And no wonder, for Autolite resistor spark plugs are one of over 400 automotive, aviation, and marine parts made by the 26 nationwide Autolite plants, all famous for Autolite engineered dependability. So, friends, don't dilly-dally, dawdle, or delay, but hop down tomorrow to your friendly Autolite dealer and get a set of wonderful new wide-gap Autolite resistor spark plugs. He's got just the type and size to fit your car. And, friends, remember, too, Autolite means spark plugs.
Ignition-engineered resistor spark plugs.
Autolite means batteries.
Stay full batteries.
Autolite means ignition system.
The lifeline of your car.
And now here again is Miss Agnes Moorhead.
My thanks to producer Tony Leader for affording me this opportunity to play Lucille Fletcher's wonderful story once again. And my thanks to the cast and the musicians and sound men who helped make it successful. The suspense program will always hold a special place in my affections, and I'll be listening with great interest next Thursday when Radio's Outstanding Theater of Thrills brings us Little Margaret O'Brien, starring in Ray Bradbury's story, The Screaming Woman, another gripping study in
suspense.
Agnes Moorhead has recorded Sorry Wrong Number in album form. Miss Moorhead may currently be seen in the Warner Brothers picture Johnny Belinda. Music on tonight's suspense play was composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Bluskin. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leader. In the coming weeks, suspense will present such stars as Ronald Coleman, Rosalind Russell, Claude Rains, and William Bendix. Make it a point to listen each Thursday to Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills. And next Thursday, same time, hear Margaret O'Brien in The Screaming Woman.
This is the Autolite Suspense Show. Volunteers are needed for the armed forces of the United States. Your nearest recruiting station will have complete information. Good night. Switch to Autolite.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Nine.
That was the Radio Art Hour, mostly put together from the work of Wave Farm Radio Art Fellows Jess Spear and Karen Werner. Go to wavefarm.org for more information about the radio art you heard featured on the Radio Art Hour.
God. N God. C zero. N God. C zero. Zero and eight and ten. Zero and eight and ten. Two n zero zero six. Two n zero zero six. Eight two eight six zero. Eight two eight. Set zero. Eight zero. Eight zero. Thank zero. Thank and thank zero. Thank and got six zero. Got zero. Got six zero. Got zero. Six set zero. Do eat. Six set zero. Do eat. Six zero. Nuff eat. Got six zero. Nuff eat. Got six and eight, set, do, six and eight, set, do, neuf, cinq, neuf and eight, neuf, cinq, neuf and eight, neuf and six, neuf, quatre, neuf and six, neuf, quatre. Six, eight, six, neuf, neuf. Six, eight, six, neuf, neuf. Fini.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.